Welcome to Red Eye. It's like the bold and the beautiful. If by bold you mean Greg, and by beautiful you mean people not as important as Greg. Let's go to TV's Andy Levy for our pregame report. Andy, what's coming up on tonight's show?
Thanks, Greg. Our top story tonight. The Egyptian military pulls off quite a coup, he said, making a joke to cover for his complete lack of actual knowledge about the situation.
Well done.
Plus, a Fox News poll shows the majority of Americans think the founding fathers would be unhappy with the way Washington works these days. Our all-star panel will take a fair and balanced look at how President Obama has ruined everything straight ahead. And finally, British researchers say humans may eventually evolve beaks to replace our teeth, or in England to replace the spaces where their teeth used to be. That's right, I'm getting tonight's cheap shot out of the way early. Greg?
Yeah, I didn't think you need to actually go through the English, but so be it.
Well, they were British researchers, and like I said, I wanted to get the cheap shot out of the way early tonight, Greg. It's a holiday.
It is a holiday. And it's July 4th, so cheap shot away against the Brits.
Absolutely.
Goodbye.
Let's welcome our guest. Well, she's so hot, her sneeze can set off a smoke alarm. I'm here tonight with Brooke Goldstein. She's the founder of something called the Children's Rights Institute. Doesn't exist. And director of the Lawfare Project. Never heard of it. Well, he's so sharp, he belches barbed wire. It's Anthony Fisher, recent TV producer. And he breaks apart when flushed. It's my repulsive sidekick, Bill Schultz. That's disgusting. And if jokes were stray dogs, he'd be the pound, because he's full of jokes. Sad, unwanted jokes. Sitting right next to me, comedian Tom Shalhoub. His latest comedy CD, enjoyed by hundreds, is called Dancing Alone.
Abe Law, the lead. That's the first story.
Hey, Greg, do you get paid by the outrage or what?
Oh, he... All right, it's much ado about a coup. Yep, of Morsi, they want no more, see. Egypt's top military commander says the army is running the country, and President Mohamed Morsi has been replaced. In a speech Wednesday night, General Abdel Fattah el-Sisi says the world's constitution had been suspended, and Morsi has failed to meet the demands of the public. Morsi said on his presidential Facebook page that he rejects the general's statement. Then he liked a couple of pictures of his niece and made a sandwich. And now a dramatic reenactment of the last 12 hours in Egypt. Probably the fastest he's moved in his entire life, and nowhere special, Brooke. You're kind of the expert in all this. You follow the Middle East closely. What does this mean for that region in general? Is this a promising development?
Remember when President Obama went to Cairo and he made that speech, and he invited members of the Muslim Brotherhood in the audience, who at that time were the banned political party, and said the future does not belong to those who slander the Prophet of Islam, parroting the Muslim Brotherhood line. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently the future does not belong in Egypt to the Muslim Brotherhood. I think it was incredibly naive of us to assume that we could just, you know, depose Mubarak, who was an ally of the West, and put in a terrorist organization. And the hypocrisy of those who say this is some sort of illegitimate coup, when, and you know, they should wait for the next democratic process, when Morsi was going around putting political opponents in jail, harassing them, physically intimidating them. There were more people who were convicted of blasphemy and criticism of Morsi under his regime than under Mubarak. I mean, this is a good thing for the Egyptian people.
This is an interesting thing, Anthony, in the sense that a military coup actually is the least of the bad choices you have, because it's kind of like when you look at the Middle East, you always want the least scary people there, and there were some scary people or scary things taking shape there, but we don't know how this is going to turn out. There could be total bloodshed in about a few hours or while this show is going on, so we don't know what's going to happen. What are your thoughts?
Well, Mubarak was bad. Yes. Morsi was a very different kind of bad.
Right.
And I'm not very hopeful for what comes next.
Right.
But at the very least, as you said, perhaps they got this whole Muslim Brotherhood thing out of their system.
Right.
They elected the Muslim Brotherhood, apparently legitimately, or is what passes for legitimate in Egypt, and didn't work out so well. Pretty angry, 3 million people in the streets, and now it's over. So hopefully the military will not hold on to power indefinitely and transfer it at some point, but it's a different kind of bad than
Yeah, it's weird, though, because you do see the people and the military together. Usually you see the military acting up against the people, but what do I know? I was an English major. Tom, you're a comedian.
I'm smart, too, though.
You are smart. That's true. Should we wait before celebrating? Is this, I mean, it's...
Well, obviously.
Yes.
And, I mean, I'm afraid to say anything stupid right now because this is happening as we speak.
That's very wise of you to say that. Okay. Because I say a lot of stupid things, and then things happen, and I look really dumb.
But I would, I'm very optimistic, based not on what's happening right now, but what's happened over the past few days. Because as I've been watching this, it's quite amazing. I mean, Morsi came in, obviously he was elected, but we don't know how shady that election was at the time.
Right.
It happened, and we thought, oh, no, here come the Muslim Brotherhood. And then he really... He went for it, you know, and I thought they were just going to knuckle under, but they didn't. I think it's very inspiring.
That's why I almost feel like, and I know I'm jumping the gun here, and I may regret it, that this seems more like the Arab Spring than the Arab Spring was, because they're rebelling against a rising Islamic state, which is refreshing. Bill, I did some research, and it seems the rejoicing going on in Egypt right now is reacting to misinformation of your death.
What?
Yes.
I believe that you promoted that misinformation.
On Twitter, I said you had died.
Via a tweet directed to Egypt.
Yes.
That's scurrilous.
What do you, and good use of the word scurrilous.
Thank you.
What do you make of this? Who can we trust in Egypt right now? Anybody?
No, the Muslim Brotherhood is still the most organized of the political groups in Egypt, so what's to stop them from being democratically elected again?
True.
Hopefully they won't be as bad at ruling over Egypt as they were, but I don't think we should celebrate right now, although I'm going to because I like to party.
That is true.
So I don't care if things change because I like a good party. So yay, Egypt!
Yeah.
This is full of vodka.
Yeah.
Sorry, strict Muslims.
But to that point, everyone keeps saying, you know, democratic elections happened and put Morsi in place. Democracy is a culture. It's not the rule of the majority. Just
good
because
point.
A bunch of people, you know, got together and elected the Muslim Brotherhood, they went and they destroyed every element of any type of secular democracy. That doesn't mean they were constitutionally, you know, democratically elected. Sorry, one more point. The double irony here is that this is Obama's outreach. This is his outreach to the Muslim population to go and spend billions of dollars propping up these Islamist governments that are going to, you know, mosques that are preaching hatred. And Egypt on the street is now more anti-American than it was ever in the past, and you see that.
Yeah. Now, if it's a double irony, does that make it unironic? Because
there were two ironies in there somewhere.
Yeah, but you make fantastic points. Anthony, you look like you were about to finish up.
Just in the short term, trying to accentuate the positive, for anyone who's got interests with Israel, and I have Israelis in my family, the one apparatus in Egypt that might be not interested in a war with Israel is the military.
Exactly.
And they're running things right now. So.
That's a very good point. All right, let's leave on that good point, shall we?
I've got a better point. The guy in charge right now, his name is General Sisi.
I was going to
say,
that's what I was asking. That's really his name? I thought you were making a joke.
No, I thought I mispronounced it, but you know what? You know, hey. Buddy, what can you say that might get you into trouble? All right. From coups to boos, they put the blue in red, white, and blue. Yep, the founding fathers would be frowning this July 4th. According to a new Fox News poll, how upbeat, 82% of Americans surveyed think Adams, Jefferson, Franklin, and the lesser-known Garbanzo brothers would be unhappy about how things are going in Washington. I believe that's D.C. and not the state of Washington, but I'll have somebody check on that. Meanwhile, that includes 96% of Tea Partiers, 95% of Republicans, 68% of Democrats, and a whopping 100% of men named Sean Hannity. But what do these three corgis think?
What's on top, yeah? 我是说你们不可以吵架，为什么都讲不听？Wow,
I thought that was going to go somewhere interesting, but apparently because it's July 3rd, or maybe it's not July 3rd, because we don't know when the show is airing.
Yes.
It could be anywhere between July 3rd and July 7th. This is an interesting video. Shalui, are you surprised that only 96% think the founding fathers would be unhappy.
Stop lumping these founding fathers together as one.
True.
Adams would be unhappy. Jefferson would love it. All the cafes. He loved cafes.
That's true.
Hamilton, probably he would have liked the condition of, he would have liked a strong Fed, but I don't think he would have been a fan of Bernanke's.
No, he wouldn't.
So, you know, they all, these men were individuals.
I like that, you know, I'm tired of the founding fathers being stereotyped.
Yeah, and they were always fighting. Are you kidding? Jefferson and Adams?
Oh, they were always butting heads. Yes. When they weren't having tremendous conversations about inventing things, because that's what they did. They invented a lot of things. I've invented nothing but great humor for America. Anthony, what would they like about this country? Let's focus on the positive.
Back on the positive. I mean, Ben Franklin was a libertine who liked to hang out in France. He liked to play with electricity. So I think all the technological advancements and mingling of different peoples, I think he'd be into.
He would say, come back to my pad to check out my iPad. Because that's what Benjamin Franklin liked, to have fun with the ladies.
Yeah, he was a pimp.
He was a, yeah, he was, and he had two beds, didn't he? He would move from bed to
like
bed.
Like Lucy and Ricky, or?
No, it was maybe this is urban legend, but when one bed got warm, he would move to the other bed. I might have dreamt this. Brooke, I think our viewers at home are itching to hear your opinion on the Founding Fathers, given that you were not born in America.
No, born in Canada, but came to the United States because I have a deep respect for the Constitution.
Nice.
And I think that what this poll shows is that the majority of Americans, you know, Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. We all, you know, believe in the values underlying the Constitution, and we're, you know, particularly troubled by the fact that, you know, the checks and balances have basically failed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the failures is with the First Amendment. We've talked about it before on the show. You're nodding as though I'm really boring, right?
No, America can't see my disinterest.
Are you sure? Because it's very disinterested.
I just enjoy looking at you,
look,
Brooke.
I mean, just look at it. Look at SARS, for example, okay? We just accept these as though it's legal, but it's, in my opinion, a violation of Article 2. Since when does the executive have the power to appoint people with legislative authority? We don't.
True.
And nobody's challenging it. No one's, you know, the challenges of hate speech laws, hate crime laws, that might be, you know, a violation of the First Amendment. Those are being lost in the Supreme Court, and so people are seeing these checks and balances aren't working. You know, each branch is not upholding, you know, their deal, their end of the bargain.
Good point. Excellent point. I thought you meant SARS as in the disease.
And that's what I thought. That's terrible.
What does that have to do with it? But then I know what you mean. You're like a hot stossel, or a hossel, as I like to call you. Bill, according to the poll, 98% of Americans said they hoped that you would fall down an elevator shaft and never be heard from again. I'm surprised that question was included in a Fox News poll where you work, but apparently even the people here want you dead.
And it was so specific, too.
Yes, it was.
They couldn't just give me death. They had to give me an arduous one.
Yes.
In an elevator shaft, no less.
Yes.
One of the many things the Founding Fathers would have found really weird.
Yes,
an elevator shaft. I think that the majority of them would hate America today. Well, apart from Alexander Hamilton, he would have loved it because there's rumors he was gay. The rest of them would not have liked it. They would have looked at the Oval Office and said, what is that slave doing there? They would not have liked that. They would have liked the fact that you can now vote along with us men. But they certainly would have liked me, because my seventh great grandfather was a lesser known founding father. His name was William Dawes, and although I am related to him, Todd Kelly, I will show you who he looks like. Unfortunately, he looks exactly like Bob Beckel.
What do you mean? What's a seventh grade grandfather? What's
seventh great.
Seventh
so, and
great.
So that's me, instead, me saving time instead of going great, 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 great.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I look like bowling.
Yeah. All right. You know, I do think the Founding Fathers would be enamored by many things. I made a list. Cool Whip, Otter Pops, toilet paper. Come on. They were using this.
Yes.
And now the whole medicated wipe trend, which is making toilet paper obsolete and changing the way we do our business. What was bad back then? Think about it, hygiene. They had lots of disease. They had horses everywhere, and horses stunk. And then the people were just awful back then.
They had to, didn't they have, I saw that John Adams biography.
Yes, you couldn't smell it.
Didn't Mrs. Adams inject the children with a disease or something?
I don't know.
Yes, or something along those lines.
But they had to vaccinate themselves by getting diseases.
I'll tell you what, though, you could, like, when you watch any movie that takes place back then, or prior to like the 1880s, you can't smell anything. But if you were there, you would never be interested in Westerns because everybody's like pooping all over the place.
Speak for yourself.
Napoleon wrote to Josephine, "I'm coming home in 3 days. Don't shower."
Yeah, yes.
Sort of like what they liked.
Really?
That's awesome.
I have no idea. But then again, 200, 300 years from now, people are going to look at us and think we're filthy. And with Bill, they'd be correct because you do stink.
Screw you, future.
All right, from distaste to waste. They spent $600,000 to get some fans, according to an inspector general's report, my favorite kind. The State Department blew through $630,000 of taxpayer money as part of an ad campaign to get more Facebook likes. And apparently the campaign increased the likes belonging to something called the Bureau of International Information Programs, which went from 100,000 likes to over 2 million. So money well spent, I guess. Well, not so fast, because as the inspector general points out, many in the Bureau criticize the advertising campaigns as buying fans who may have once clicked on an ad or liked a photo but have no real interest in the topic. So I'd call that the opposite of money well spent, and good luck getting it back.
Yours or beeves?
What can I do?
Nothing funny about that, sir. Nothing funny at all. Anthony, I guess $600,000 is a drop in the bucket.
It is. It is a drop in the bucket. And as somebody who's passionately opposed to government waste, this is a drop in the bucket. It's not really worth getting crazy about. But what I'm curious about is, what are these people who have jumped on the State Department Facebook bandwagon going to do when the inevitable Republican administration takes over at some point? Are they going to be no longer interested in diplomacy?
Well, this drives me. See, I think this is a big deal, but Brooke, I want you to relate this to radical Islam in two steps or less.
Easy.
Yes.
Okay.
We want to. I'll do it for you. Our administration wants to be liked. That's so sad.
But we're being liked by robots, as I understand it.
Yeah.
Look, it is a waste of money, okay? It's a drop in the bucket. But we do have a sequester.
Yes.
And apparently
we
don't have enough money to protect our embassies in Libya.
Yes.
We don't have enough money to give, you know, to our soldiers. And it's one thing, you know, if a private company does this, because it's in their mandate to buy publicity.
Right.
But if the government is doing this, everybody knows who the State Department is. So
yeah.
If they don't like it already, then basically what we're doing is contravening the values of democracy and buying popularity.
You are a genius, Brooke, and I mean that because I understood everything you said.
I didn't understand the part about contravening. I think she made that word up.
Tom, doesn't this sum up the problem with Obama's foreign policy? We must be liked even if it's not even real.
Yes, I think it contravenes the problem.
Yes.
It sounds better coming from him.
It does, because he's a man.
Yes,
It is a drop in the bucket. We should be wondering what they did with the other $50 billion that they spent. $50 billion. I'm rounding up. Don't get on my case, Andy. He's looking it up right now.
I know.
But it was billions of dollars.
Yes.
But yes, I think that it is interesting, because if you like Barack Obama's page, you will always like Barack Obama. But if you like the State Department, and then the Republicans are elected, you better unlike it.
That is true. Bill, here's a game. Pretend I poisoned you, and the only antidote is you saying something interesting.
I feel there's a theme to tonight's show, and I don't like the theme. And I am on record. I am unliking the theme for tonight's show. I withdraw my previous answer for the last story. If the Founding Fathers came back right now, and I spent 5 hours explaining to them what Facebook was, I would think that at the end of me explaining it, they would not like this.
I'll tell
you exactly why. Because back then, $600,000 was about $600 trillion.
True.
If you do the math.
All right. By the way, a drop in the bucket. It's a drop in the bucket because the bucket's so damn huge. And Facebook likes our government is run by teenage girls. All right. Coming up, what's it like to be scared of bees? Brooke Goldstein discusses her new book, Why I Avoid Words Like Ook, Acre, and Anjo. Strange. Oh. What's up with Legos for girls? Who cares? I play with dirt. Tastes good, too. Are there bricks, not for chicks? So in the old days, Legos used to be toys for boys. Ugh. But as NPR reports, 2 years ago, the company introduced a line for young ladies called Lego Friends. featuring little dolls and sets that allow girls to build karate studios and beauty salons. And like my recent pec implant surgery, it's been a huge success. But some have questioned the toy's gender implications, like David Pickett, who blogs about Legos at Thinking Brickly. Yes, there's a man who blogs about Legos. Shoot me in the face. He notes that girl Legos can move their legs independently and can't turn their wrists, unlike the classic boy Legos. Adding, quote, that sort of sends a message about what we expect women being able to do physically.
Yay.
Meanwhile, dominoes are now being marketed to turtles. They killed him for that, by the way.
What?
Brooke, are you as outraged as I am? What kind of message is Lego sending to girls by creating and marketing toys for them?
It's so funny because I was like, who the hell is David Pickett?
Yes.
And what does he mean? I mean, what kind of message is being sent because they can't move their wrists?
I love
sad
that.
One. Is that
it's a sad one about the blogger.
I get it.
It's a
but
sad it,
but
one.
But what this shows, you know, what they were saying is that in order to market to female children, they had to make the Lego
girls.
More complicated.
I don't like that pejorative term, Greg.
Female children.
Boys are just girls, little girls, kids. Boys were just happy, you know,
yes.
to play with blocks, but girls needed something a little bit more complicated. They needed purpose. They had to create
yes.
spaces with purpose and give, you know, characters, names, and stories. So it just shows that, you know, little girls are a lot smarter than boys.
Oh, sexist. Off the show, Tom. Why can't they just make Legos gender neutral like Bill?
Well, that's what this guy from Thinking Brickly is saying, right?
Yes,
but
Thinking
he's
Brickly.
He's got the wrong idea. He said that the girl Legos can't move their hands, so it sends the wrong message to women. That's not true, because did you ever try to do women things like cooking my breakfast without using your wrists?
It's
very difficult.
But I think he was talking about the fact that they can't throw a football because they don't have to.
You can't throw
a
football without a wrist. You can't make me breakfast without a wrist.
No, girls can't throw footballs because they're girls.
All right.
Come on, guys.
Anthony, you're a well-known Lego purist. I have read your bio. You must be disgusted by Lego friends.
You keep up with my Lego blog, I see.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, my three-year-old daughter loves her gender-neutral Legos.
Yes.
But in this article, they say that the girls are more inclined to make houses and then play inside the houses.
Yes.
And she does that, too. I think the whole idea that they couldn't sell Legos to girls unless they were pink and flowery is basically just a parental bias, that they wouldn't even introduce their little girls to something that wasn't pastel-y.
Well, it was one of the biggest sellers in company history. It actually beat out Lego's People's Temple. Hey, Bill, the classic Lego has a stocky little torso and a snap-off head. I wish you had a snap-off head so I could snap it off and feed it to a hungry dog who would probably throw it up because you taste so awful.
I'm laying a wash over me.
Well, all you need to know about this story is the headline. Girls' Legos are a hit, but why do girls need special Legos? Because they're a hit.
Yes.
That's why girls clearly needed them, and Lego fulfilled that need. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, I understand why this guy was so upset about the wrist movement, because when you are a Lego blogger, you really value wrist movement.
I would say
that's about all you will do besides blog about Legos is a lot of wrist movement.
The real gender issue is that there's a grown man blogging about Legos. That's the gender issue we have.
And what would the founding fathers say about that?
The founding fathers would be like, ooh, Legos, for a while. And they go, maybe we could build a cabin out of this. And it would take them days because they're really small. And then they'd probably go off and kill somebody.
And then drink rum.
And drink rum. That is true. Legos. I wonder if they that would have been plastic. They would go, what is this strange thing? It must be something. What do we call it? Let's call it plastic.
It resonates more when you do that with Ben Franklin's glasses on.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm actually there.
Yes. All right. Coming up, Portuguese bonds and stocks lead heavy declines in European markets after the foreign minister's resignation triggered the worst political crisis since the country accepted a bailout. We're not doing that story. Instead, will the next mayor give a crapple about the Big Apple? Bill Schultz reports or pretends to report, mainly just shouts and then breaks wind. We've stopped caring, really. Is anyone on the scene besides the Ween? Surprisingly, Anthony Weiner isn't the only candidate running for mayor of New York City. But do New Yorkers know that? And are the non-Weiner politicians really any better than current nanny in chief Michael Bloomberg? Well, I believe it was Captain Kangaroo who once said, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. He was referring to Mr. Green Jeans. We sent Bill Schultz out to test locals on their November knowledge while quietly hoping he gets run over by an out-of-control dump truck.
Why? How much do New Yorkers know about the candidates for mayor? Probably not a lot. And to prove that I'm right, I said this after I already interviewed them. Now, a lot of these guys aren't that well known, so I thought I'd show you some pictures of some of them. You tell me if you recognize them, some of the future possible candidates for next year, and whether or not you'd vote for them.
They're not from here, though.
Well, you know what? Well, let's take this again. When I ask, you say you're from Brooklyn. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, New Yorker, where are you from?
Hey, Brooklyn.
All right, I love that borough. All right, Brooklyn here. Which candidate is this?
Have no idea.
I have no idea. Never seen him before.
Nope.
I don't recognize him.
Anthony Weiner.
Yeah.
And what do we know about him?
He likes to tweet naked pictures of himself.
Anthony Weiner, former representative.
He hasn't gotten a lot of press lately, so I'm impressed that you knew that. What do you think of him?
Well, you should keep his clothes on.
Out of all the candidates, who would you want to get a pick from?
Oh.
So what do we think of him?
I don't know. He's got a nice package.
Wait, are you talking about some sort of on-air package he recently did about the issues of the day, or what are we talking here?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
So did you find that the package he was doing on air, was it too long? Did it sound a little crooked?
I mean, it was a little,
You could have shaved some time off it. Do you know who this guy is?
Eric Bolden.
A lot of people think that it's Eric Bolden or Bowling, but that's actually John Boehner, Speaker of the House. And, it is. He looks like that in January.
Oh, this woman looks cutthroat. She's wearing red, blonde hair, black eyes. She is in it. She's a snake.
Okay, here's the thing. Her name's Dana Perino. I agree with everything you said except for the fact that about being cutthroat. Fact of the matter is she's 4'2". She cannot reach your throat.
That is Bob Beckel?
Bob Abbas Tweed Beckel, yes.
Yes, good for him. Running on corruption and intra-city planning. I'm big on that.
Ah, that's a trick. He doesn't run. Does not run.
Oh, I know this broad. I've seen her before.
First of all, she is every inch a broad. Second of all, her name is Kimberly Guilfoyle. Her one thing that she's going for in her campaign is she wants Puerto Rican Day to be every day. What do we think of that?
Every day. Well, it is in New York, isn't it?
Lord, I know this guy. Absolutely. He, Juan Williams.
Do you mind for a second? Guys, I'm trying to do something over here! Yeah, his campaign is Bill O'Reilly yells at me. Can he win at that?
Oh, is that something everyone can relate to? So, sure.
All right, how about this guy?
Now, he's the host of the Red Eye. I forgot his name.
Brett Baer. The host of Red Eye is Brett Baer. How about this one over here?
That looks like a mugshot a little bit.
Very good. This is Andy Levy shortly after his arrest.
Yes.
I did not think it was illegal to creep people out on the subway. Indeed, it is. And that's the look he gave them. Okay. That is Jeremy Piven. He is going to be running for mayor.
Not Jeremy Piven.
That's all right. Well, that's Jeremy Piven before makeup.
I don't know that guy.
Trick question. That's Ellen DeGeneres. Next up, who's that?
Yeah, who is, he's an actor.
Billy Zane or something.
Oh, very close, Leonardo DiCaprio. Well, what have we learned about New Yorkers and their current politician hopefuls? I'm not sure because this is the first thing I taped and I have yet to speak with anyone yet, but hopefully a lot.
Wow, mediocrity. I was gonna say mediocre job, and then I thought, no, mediocrity at its best, so I decided to go mediocrity. Bill, did anybody recognize both my picture and want me to run for mayor?
Yes, but I'm not gonna answer which one. No, actually, there were a lot of people that I knew a lot more about the mayoral candidates than I thought, so therefore I made sure we edited them out.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Because you wanted to do what other people do in other networks and make everybody look stupid.
Oh, yeah, ding, 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 ding.
That's great. It's like You always, whenever people do these packages, they find all the dumb answers, they put them together.
I don't know if you've ever seen a little segment I like to call Jaywalking, Jay Leno, and there's a reason he finds all these dumb people, Greg, because he interviews a lot of smart people before he gets to them, and then he edits them out.
Hey, Brooke, what would make you vote for Wiener?
Absolutely nothing.
Really?
Yes, and I usually don't talk about my personal political agenda on television.
Ah, you just did.
But, I think we should take a closer look at whom Avidine. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, works in the old. You never leave that perch, do you, Brooke? Always there.
I'm going to go on a limb and say it's her wheelhouse.
I think it is her wheelhouse.
We need her on that wall.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, was Bill's quiz unfair? The election's 4 months away.
Yes, and I love how it devolved into the Fox News personality so quickly. Yes. We got off the mayor. Oh, these people are boring. Let's talk about the mayor.
It's true. Well, I am running for mayor at some point. Maybe not for New York, but maybe for Candyland. Anthony, is Wiener surviving on the fact just because he has name recognition and people are going to just get rid of him when they actually vote?
I don't think so. I mean, he was pretty popular. If he had the courage to run against Bloomberg in 2009, he probably would have won. I mean, Bill Thompson got 48% of the vote, and nobody knows who he is.
That's a good point. But let me try to remember that. That was before the pictures.
It was before, but he was polling very well. But as soon as Bloomberg overturned the term limits, he went, oh, I have no chance. But he would have won.
Wow. Let me save that bleep there, Greg. Yes, that was when he sent out a picture of Richard.
Yeah. Do you know what's funny, though? If you think about it that way, the picture controversy would have come out when he was mayor, and we would have lost a mayor.
But he would have been—he was so bored in D.C. doing that whole congressman thing. He probably would have had work to do and may not have gotten in trouble.
He wants to be president. Let's face it.
If New York elects him, I mean, they deserve everything they get. I don't think New York's going to elect him, but if they do, I will laugh. I will laugh.
You're already laughing. All right, we got to take a break from the man who keeps laughing at the pain and suffering of New Yorkers. But there's more stuff on the way. Speaking of The Joy of Hate, the greatest book ever written by me, Amazon.com, autograph copy, ggutfeld.com, a great gift for the 4th of July. 7 having a conversation with Anthony, who claims evolution doesn't exist. Anyway, could the beak inherit the Earth? According to the Daily Mail, some British scientists believe we've outgrown our teeth and that in the future humans might have beaks. Finally, my dream will be realized and I can eat all those pistachios. In particular, researchers are looking at the puffer fish seen here, which over time has evolved special beaks to crack open crab shells and the like. They say that as our life expectancy increases, the fact that we have a limited supply of teeth makes no sense. Unlike fish, which can create new teeth throughout their lives. Oh, stop bragging, teeth. or fish with teeth. Tom, it'd be pretty good to have a beak, wouldn't it? No. I could see you having a beak.
I don't know why they think we're going to grow a beak. Even if their theory does hold, why wouldn't we just grow more teeth and better teeth and ones that stay in our heads?
That's a good point. Or just lose. We eat a lot of soft foods. Why don't we just, all the teeth should just fall out? It's just a big mushy, squishy thing that sucks onto a straw.
Yeah.
We watch everybody walking around with their giant Starbucks things and straws. Why not just have a straw face, Brooke? Straw face.
Question?
No. Oh, actually, yes. Could having an endless supply of teeth be the key to our victory over radical Islam?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I agree with Tom. I don't understand the notion of this article. They say that our teeth are stop laughing. You're just
we're laughing with you.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, this is my greatest fear, growing a beak in 2 billion years. I'm more afraid of Islam than I am of Corona.
Yes! Yay!
That's what we
Talking
want.
Points.
That's what we want. Anthony, we're never going to have beaks, which is sad. These scientists are lying to us.
Yeah, they might be. I mean, we're living probably much longer than our teeth would like us to.
Very good point.
Our teeth are going to rot and fall out of our heads because we all used to die at 35.
Exactly.
And now we're living to 100 something, and we just need to be sharks and grow new teeth several times over a lifetime.
So many weird things happen to you after the age of 40. You're convinced you're not supposed to be alive, like losing hair and then growing hair. Like you lose it and then it grows elsewhere, and then you get little skin tags. What are they about? They taste funny. Bill, much like your soul, your teeth are rotting from the inside. Thoughts?
They're not positive ones.
They don't have to be.
Yeah, I'm not pro that. I'm con that.
The more negative thoughts you have, the more happy I am about your lot of
life. I don't have thoughts. I do. Dinosaurs have been around a lot longer than we have, right? What do dinosaurs have? Teeth and lots of them. What do dinosaurs have now? Beaks, because they're birds. That's right, birds. Get it through your thick skull, Brooke. They're birds now. The little chickens running around, they are direct descendants of Tyrannosaurus rexes. They are all just birds. So what happened to them is going to happen to us. And as usual, the Green Lantern is right. The Green Lantern's always right. And on his planet, he's got what we are going to become. Hot Todd Kelly, let's show them. This guy's name is Tomorrow Ray. He is part of the Lantern Corps. And yes, that is us. I also think we're gonna have skin tight green suits.
I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome just to go jogging in.
Oh, you can Lycra have one anything is.
I can have one now.
You can
I don't have to wait for a beak.
Yeah. You could put a fake beak on and jog around New York in a Lycra suit.
I did that and I woke up unconscious in Chelsea and I didn't have any of my clothes. But I have some semi fond memories, I think, or they could have been nightmares. Either way, there was something on my chest. All right, do you have a comment on the show? Email us. It's redeye@foxnews.com. Do you have a video of your animal doing something interesting? Go to foxnews.com/redeye. Click on submit a video. We might use it. Coming up, the post-game report from TV's Andy Levy. Blah!
Tonight's post-game wrap-up is sponsored by chairs. Those pieces of furniture consisting of a seat, legs, back, and often arms, designed to accommodate one person. Thanks, chairs.
Program note, a brand new Red Eye airs this Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Guests include Terry Shepard, Remy Spencer, Jesse Joyce. TV's Andy Levy, post-game report.
Thanks, Greg.
You're welcome.
I would hope so. Egypt. Brooke, you said it was incredibly naive of us to think we could depose Mubarak and put in a Muslim Brotherhood government.
Well, support.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I thought the Egyptian people did that, yeah. Okay.
And then fund the Muslim Brotherhood and think that they were going to, you know, bring freedom to their people.
Right. Greg, you mentioned that it's an odd situation where a military coup might be a good thing. Yeah, it's rarely a good sign when a guy in a beret gets up there and says, this is how it's going to be from now on.
Yeah.
But this may be one of those times.
Who knows? You know, there was an interesting comment by a Fox News panelist who said that maybe America could learn from this.
What idiot said that?
I wouldn't call him an idiot. I would just say that it was an interesting comment.
Oh, okay. All right. Was it you?
No.
Oh.
Lay off Cavuto, guys. Come on.
We'll just edit out what I said.
Yes.
I just assumed it was you.
Yes.
Also, by the way, not a good sign when the president of the country responds to a coup by posting on his Facebook page.
Yes, that's weird.
Yeah. Probably not returning to power.
Should be called Sphinx book.
What book?
Sphinx.
I don't know what that means.
The Egyptian Sphinx.
Yes.
Oh, Sphinx.
Sphinx.
It's a bad joke.
It was a bad joke that I repeated three times now.
Thank you, Brooke. Yeah. Anthony, you said perhaps the Egyptians have gotten this whole Muslim Brotherhood thing out of their system. Yeah, hopefully. I'm a little worried they're going to start going through governments like Taylor Swift goes through boyfriends, though.
Will they write songs about it, though?
No.
Hopefully. God, I hope not.
That saved that joke.
Yeah. Yep. Bill, you said what's to stop the Muslim Brotherhood from being democratically elected again, which is a fair point. Hopefully, as Brooke pointed out, the fact that they sucked for the short time they were in will prevent it.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
I hope as well, Andrew.
Yeah. By the way, as we were taping, Egyptian officials said the head of the Brotherhood's political party and the group's deputy chief have been arrested.
This is the scare. I mean, that's why we have to be very careful. You know, we're lighthearted on the show, but we don't know
absolutely
what is going to happen, and we got to be, you know, we got to be respectful that bad things can happen.
The military is over there saying this is not a coup. Arresting political party members, not a good way of showing this is not a coup.
Yeah.
Fox News poll says founding fathers wouldn't be happy this July 4th. Greg, you are correct about Ben Franklin's view of beds. He wrote, Those who do not love trouble and can afford to have two beds will find great luxury in rising when they wake in a hot bed and going to the cool one.
This is so true. And we all know this because we've all turned our pillows over, haven't we? Let's not be embarrassed by that.
No. I switch beds when the hotel has two beds.
Yes.
Halfway through the night, boom, go to the
I have done that, and, and when I've soiled them.
Godless heathens.
Well, Greg, Franklin also recommended thinner and more porous bed clothes, which will suffer the perishable matter more easily to pass through them.
Oh, that's
disgusting.
I hope
he meant sweat. I'm assuming he meant sweat.
Mm. He also liked orgies.
Maybe he took a snack into bed with him.
No, Bill, it wasn't orgies. It was corgis.
Oh, well, we can all get on board that. Wait, corgis are British. He wouldn't like that.
Tom, John Adams was inoculated with smallpox.
Yeah, and the whole family, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the inoculation, he spent 3 weeks in the hospital with headaches, backaches, knee aches, gagging, fever, and eruption of pockmarks.
But it worked, right? The whole family didn't get the smallpox.
No, they just spent 3 weeks in the hospital with gagging fever.
Sounds like they got it.
State Department spent $630,000 to get Facebook likes. Brooke, you said it's one thing if a private company does this, but if the State Department does it, they're, I think you said contravening democracy.
I think so.
Yeah. But here's the deal. The State Department. It's fine. The Bureau of International Information Programs, they were the ones that placed the ads. Their job is to provide and support the infrastructure needed for sustained conversations with foreign audiences to build America's reputation abroad. So if they're aiming ads at trying to get people to understand more what America is about, that's not necessarily
But that's not the mission. They're not building a good reputation abroad, because if they were, they wouldn't have to buy the likes.
Yeah, but what they're trying to do by buying likes, what that means is they're placing ads to drive people to their pages to read their stuff.
Yes, but the people who are interested should go organically to the page. And once you, as I understand it, because I've never bought likes.
Have you really? No, forget about it. Nobody cares about the State Department thing. You bought likes.
You're paid for the like. So it's not like you're liking it because you like it. You're liking it because you get paid to do so.
Have you bought Twitter followers too?
Today, just to test the story, we went and we decided how much would it cost and if it works, and it does work. I did it to test the story out.
Of course you did.
Of course you did.
Of course you did.
It's just an incredible coincidence that I did it today and the story is being run.
Yeah. Tom, you cited a money figure. I think it was $50 million.
I said billion, didn't I?
Oh, 50 billion. Yeah. The thing is, I didn't look it up because I decided I didn't care.
Okay. Let's say 40. I'll take 10 off just for the sake of.
All right. Yeah. Lego for girls. Craig, you said in the old days Legos used to be toys for boys.
Yes.
Then you let out a sound that I really can only describe as a moan.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know what possessed me to make that sound.
I don't think America did either.
I don't either. I think probably it brought out some kind of memory of an accident involving a Lego that prompted me to go to the emergency room.
One of those one in a million shots?
What? Yes?
Yeah, one in a million?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I don't know how I was able to fall on an entire sculpture made of Legos. Yeah. And how it remained intact.
Look,
even during the removal.
Accidents will happen.
Yes, it will.
Yes.
Every week.
Yeah. Oh, did you ever step on them in your bare feet?
Some people are just unlucky over and over again.
Yes.
Yeah. Brooke, you asked who the hell is David Pickett. Hello, he's a Lego blogger.
I wasn't into Legos when I was a young female.
You should be called a logger.
I wasn't into Legos when I was a Y chromosomed miniature human being.
Yeah. Brooke, also you noted that the company research showed that girls need more details while guys were just happy to play with the blocky looking Legos. You said this shows that little girls are a lot smarter than little boys. Mm-hmm. I think it shows that little boys have more imagination than little girls.
That's it just shows that it takes less to entertain a man.
That's what I think, because we use our imaginations.
A lot.
Yes.
Yes, Brooke.
I don't want to.
Brooke, you'd be surprised how we use our imaginations.
You can wear all the clothing you want. We've got imagination.
That's a little creepy.
Awful. It's nature's x-ray.
Say goodbye to America, Greg.
All right, bye, Andy. Bye, America. Brooke Goldstein, Bill Schultz, Anthony Fisher, Tom Shalhoub. That does it for me. I'm Greg Gutfeld. I would wish you happy 4th of July, but this might not air because of the Egyptian revolution.